Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at what John taught about the believer's confidence in the day of judgment. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 21 again together. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Now, as serious and as certain as God's wrath against sinners is, God's promise that genuine believers will not be subject to that wrath is equally certain and clear. And it is this promise that gives all believers the great assurance and certainty of their salvation. In fact, here in verse 17, John tells us that because our love has been made perfect in, by, and through what the Lord Jesus Christ alone has done for us, that believers will not only go through God's judgment without harm, but that we are going to go through God's day of judgment with something that John calls confidence. Now, the word that was translated into English in this verse as confidence is the Greek word that means cheerful courage or fearless confidence. So John says here in verse 17 that as believers stand before God to give an account, that we will be able to go through that judgment with cheerful courage or fearless confidence. Now, how could this be? Because God poured out all of his wrath and all of his fury on Jesus, because our sins were fully paid for by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our salvation is so strong, so powerful, so secure, so eternal, that the result is that we have nothing to fear in the day of judgment. Now, many times when the issue of certainty and assurance is brought up, people immediately want to discuss the sins that we commit after we are saved. It's fairly easy to understand what happened to the sins that we committed before we were saved. They were washed away. But what about the sins that we commit after we're saved? Do we have to pay for those sins? And what do we do about unrepented sin that we commit, but we're unable to repent of before we died? In other words, what happens if we enter into eternity with unrepentant sin in our lives? All of these questions are very important, and that they deserve to be answered. And so we have to be sure that we answer these questions from Scripture and not based upon our own human reasoning. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I have talked to many people about this, and a large number of people will answer the question like this. If I die with unrepentant sin in my life, God sees my heart and God knows that I love him, and so I'll be okay. And as gently as I know how, let me say to you, dear friends, that even though the people who say these things are no doubt very sincere and many of them are truly saved, that answer is the worst possible answer you could give about what happens if you die with unrepented sin in your life. And it reveals a basic misunderstanding of the entire subject. People who say they are trusting that God knows their heart, and you are trusting that because God knows your heart, that he understands what you intend and not what you actually do. But that's a terrible mistake for anybody to think that God values what you intend, and it is even worse for you to take any comfort in what you intend. Now look, it's absolutely true that God knows our hearts, dear friends, and God knows that we should never put any trust at all in what is in our hearts. I want you to read with me what God says about your heart from Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? And look what God said about our hearts from Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The heart of fallen human beings is the single most unreliable, untrustworthy, and unstable part of your body. It is also the most sinful. In fact, Jesus taught that all sin originates from inside the human heart. Read what Matthew said about this from Matthew 15, 17 through 20. Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Nobody should ever put any dependence whatsoever in their own heart. We should never follow our hearts, because the Bible says we don't know our own hearts. Our hearts betray us, and even though we're saved, our hearts are capable of the most unbelievable wickedness imaginable. And when we're talking about anything eternal, our hearts are the last thing that should ever get any of us any comfort or peace. No, we must put all of our trust in Jesus and in what He alone did, not our hearts and not in what we intend. And as we enter into eternity at the point of our death, we need to have 100% of our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and have absolutely no trust in our hearts. Please do not ever say that God knows your heart and then take comfort in the fact that God knows your heart, as though God knowing your heart is something to take comfort in. Absolutely, yeah, God does know your heart. He knows your heart is wicked and desperately sick. He knows that all evil and all sin and all injustice and all wickedness that exists on the earth originates from inside your heart and from inside my heart. And so we cannot trust our own hearts. We certainly should never think that because periodically we might have some good intention that God means that means that God will allow us to pass through His judgment. No, the only reason that we are able to pass through God's judgment against our lives is because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, not anything that is in our hearts. And so only by fully trusting that every single one of our sins has been completely paid for by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ can we have confidence in the day of judgment. Wait a minute, Brother Blair, what about unrepented sin? Don't I have to pay for the sins that I commit after I was saved? Well, let's talk about that for a minute. First of all, we need to settle in our minds that saved people sin. And the reason I begin with this point is because, believe it or not, there are people out there who believe and teach that saved people don't ever sin again once they're saved. And that teaching is false and is not of God. Not one single human being on earth is sinless except the Lord Jesus Christ, who was utterly sinless and holy. But as far as the rest of us is concerned, we are all sinners who transgress against the law of God every single day. And as we've already found out in this study, that sin is defined in 1 John 3 and 4 as being the transgression of the law. So any transgression of any of God's holy and just laws, whether they are in thought, word, or deed, is sin. Also, John taught this in 1 John 1 and 8. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So, John says here that everyone who believes that they do not sin is deceived. And those who teach that saved people can reach a place in God on this earth and in this life whereby they walk in sinless perfection is also deceived. Now let's read what John also taught from 1 John 1 verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So here John says that if anyone says that he doesn't sin, that person is making God out to be a liar, because God says over and over throughout all the Holy Bible that all men are sinners. So if you are being taught that you can reach a place of sinless perfection in this life and on this earth, run. Don't walk, run from that teaching, because whoever is teaching that is deceived. So we have established the fact that all men sin, and that includes all saved people. And we've also established the fact that no one keeps the law perfectly. We all transgress against the law every day. No human being in the history of the world has ever or will ever walk through this life keeping the law of God perfectly, except one single man, Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus was so unique and why we worship him. And why he was so special and why he was the one and only of the Father. Nobody was ever like Jesus before he was born, and nobody will ever be like Jesus since he has ascended. He truly was an exclusive. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man in the same body at the same time without conflict or contradiction. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was tempted with every single temptation that can ever or will ever come to any man, and he kept the law perfectly in thought, word, and deed without any sin whatsoever. Jesus was sinless. Moses, David, Aaron, Isaiah, Samuel, Peter, James, John, Paul, you, me, they all broke the law of God every day. All of the other people of the Bible were all sinners, and they all needed to be forgiven and saved just like we do. Every single Old Testament was saved. Saint was saved the very same way that every New Testament saint was saved, by grace through faith and not by works. Nobody has ever, nobody will ever earn salvation. Nobody is entitled to be saved. Nobody deserves salvation. God is not obligated to save anybody. Everybody who is saved by grace alone through the mercy of God, and not because they were doing something that made them attractive to God. We have to understand, dear friends, that every single person who goes to hell deserves to go to hell. But then we also have to acknowledge that every single person who goes to heaven deserves to go to hell too. Nobody is good enough to go to heaven. Everybody sins. Everybody is fallen. And the result of being fallen is that everybody transgresses the law of God. So, sin is actually the great equalizer of all men, precisely because all men sin. Sin is the one thing that everybody on earth has in common with everybody else on earth. Because all Hindus sin, all Buddhists sin, all Muslims sin, all Jews sin, and all Christians sin. All rich people sin, all poor people sin. All educated people sin as much as uneducated people. People who understand and use technology, well, they sin. And those who do not understand technology and don't have any idea how to use it, all sin. All government workers, all leaders, all presidents, all kings, all judges, all business owners sin. Everybody sins, and every human being on earth is going to stand before a holy God to give an account of the sins that they committed in this life. And the only difference, the one single difference between all of these groups of people, is that God decided way before he ever made the world to show undeserved mercy to those he chose for salvation, and God decided to give justice to the rest. And that should never make anybody feel puffed up. That should make us tremble. So we have to understand that there's absolutely nothing in us or in our hearts that should give us any confidence at all. If you were taking any comfort in your heart, dear friend, you will never be able to pass through God's judgment on your life. The only reason anybody can have this great confidence on the day of judgment is precisely because it had nothing to do with us, but had everything to do with what Jesus did for us. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.